New light. Welcome in, everybody, to another episode of 410 Sports Talk. I am James Haskell, along with my co-host Glenn Martin, and we are here on a Friday night to get you prepped for Steelers week, ladies and gentlemen. I cannot wait. It is upon us. It's going to be a great weekend for Baltimore sports in general. As we all know, Glenn, talk to me. What's going on tomorrow, dude?
Big game in Baltimore. 107, I think, is the official first pitch. The Orioles hosting the Texas Rangers in Baltimore. Game one tomorrow. I must say, Jimbo, that daggone Billy Joel is messing up what I got going on. Because, look, and I like Billy Joel. You know, he's a fine musician. That's fine. But because his concert is in town at night, it's forcing the Orioles to play at 1 o'clock. Guess who has to work? And is going to miss the entire game.
What are you going to do? Are you going to DVR it and watch it when you get home and stay on social media?
There's no way.
Dude,
There's no way I'll be able to get from work to home and not hear it from somebody passing by. Someone's going to blow it. So this is what I do have. I do have a radio that I can listen to.
Oh, so you're going old school, baby.
I'm going old school. I need them to paint the picture for me, Jimbo.
I tell you what, man, that sucks, though.
It does, man. You know how I feel, but you know.
I know. You've been riding all year, man.
And all my life.
That's right. You bought stocks low.
Dude, at the low. They were literally the cheapest when I got it in the whole league by far. And look at them now, baby.
Look at them now. And I tell you what, it's going to be fun on Sunday, too, because we got the Ravens at 1, got the Orioles at, 4? Dude, you're going to miss part of that game, too.
Look.
Dude, life's tough.
You know, it is what it is. But I'm going to try and make the best of it and not be too upset because it sucks. It does, you know. But now I want to assure the chat that Jimmy's hair is fine.
It's been fine since this morning.
You know,
we're okay. We're doing good. Well, when it's shorter, it's a lot easier.
That's right. You don't wake up and it's not absolutely
a lion mane,
insane.
Dude. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
But yeah,
I used to have the white afro, dude.
Oh yeah.
When I was a little kid. Woo.
That's a good look. I think you should bring it back.
My hair's not like curly enough anymore. After that first couple haircuts, it just kind of.
Well, look, we're excited. It's a big weekend in Baltimore. Weekend. Huge game for the Maryland Terps taking on Ohio State, who I think is number 4 in the country right now. It's a big game because look, they're 5-0. They wanted to prove that they can handle and run with the big boys. Well, tomorrow's the first step. Got obviously the Orioles playing, and then look, it's still Steelers week here in Baltimore. The Ravens have an opportunity to really put the Steelers in a bit of an early hole, and the Ravens. Excuse me, can start to separate themselves from the division this early on, which is crazy to even think. But if you look around the division, they certainly have a chance to do it this weekend. So we're excited to get into it. Of course, we'll have our guest, Chris Carter, who covers the Steelers for a bunch of different outlets, including Locked On Steelers. So we're excited to get his take and kind of get a little insight because there's a lot going on in Pittsburgh. There's like a lot of drama. They found the offensive coordinator's burner account on Twitter, which he started using his work email.
Oh, dude, you want to talk about lack of technology. What am I looking for? Technological awareness, technology competence, literacy. Yeah. There you go. Like technological literacy. Dude, you're a dummy.
Crazy, right?
Like you're a dummy.
Like, you don't think people are going to figure that out?
You don't think everybody in the IT department knows all of your emails that come in and out? So when you get a verification email from Twitter, you don't think that they could access that if they want to? Yeah, they can. Crazy. It's like, you know what it makes me think of? You've seen Creed, the first Creed?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
When Rocky's like, he takes a picture of the drills that Rocky gives him. And he gives the paper back to him. He's like, wait, what if you break your phone? He's like, it's okay, it's in the cloud. And Rocky's like,
looking up, yeah.
What cloud? Like, dude, are you stupid? Gosh.
Crazy. And all of the tweets, of course, from this account are defending Matt Canada. The only Twitter account that's defending Matt Canada at this point. And
yeah, it's a full-on revolt.
Yeah, it's bad news. So it's not looking good. But it does look like they're going to have some luck in the health department, at least surrounding their quarterback, which I think is typically where we like to start off when we talk about who's playing, who's not. You got to start with health. So I'm going to see if I can pull it up here. I have the practice. I have the injury report for the Ravens. I'm trying to find one that consolidates both the Ravens and the Steelers. But I gotta ask you a question about the Ravens because I'm not really sure. Am I stuttering a lot today?
No. Why?
Oh, okay. I thought you were imitating.
No, I was saying yeah.
I'm kind of confused about what it means for some of these guys with their injury designation, because you know that John Harbaugh is not talking a lot when it comes to injuries. Right. He doesn't like to share much. He said, I'm just referring to the injury report. So I'm going to share it here so you can kind of help me understand what's going on here. So, all right.
I was a bit perplexed by this as well.
Yeah. And it's Friday, right? So we're getting pretty close to game day. Obviously, no surprise. Oway and Worley won't be playing. They didn't practice all week. So no surprise there.
Yep.
Moses surprisingly got in a limited practice midweek, returned to DNP today. So I think despite the fact that I think he's got like 137 consecutive games played, I think that streak ends. But all these guys with questionable got in a whole lot of practice. Justice Hill, Keaton Mitchell practiced in full. OBJ says he expects to play. Stanley practiced all week except for Friday, which was labeled as a rest day, not an injury day. And then Marlon Humphrey also practiced in full. But then at the end here, Jimbo, this is where my question is. Rashad Bateman, Marcus Williams, and Jalen Armour Davis have no game status.
Yeah, so to me, maybe I'm looking at this positively, it means that they're off the list.
That's how I want to believe it.
That's the way I understand it.
That's incredible to me. Like, Marcus Williams isn't even on the list.
Right. I mean, he took some antler spray, some deer antler spray. Dude, got some of that LeBron James juice. You know what I'm saying? I mean, whatever LeBron is injecting, Marcus Williams called him up. No, I'm kidding. I don't want to accuse anybody of anything. Certainly a guy with as much integrity as a Utah Ute. So, yeah, he's just Wolverine, dude.
It's just crazy to me, man. Yeah. Like, I mean, I guess it's really good news, especially Rashad Bateman, because
yeah,
that's surprising. Like, he's not even listed as like a probable or like nothing.
Right. 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 And then let's see, where's OBJ on here?
He's in the OBJ's questionable.
OBJ's ankle questionable. Yeah. I mean, not surprised, but I'm excited. I think he'll play.
Yeah, he says he's expecting to play. So,
but yeah, I think as far as injuries goes, it's a great week. Either way, we're getting reinforcements. I think Ronnie goes. I think that the let me see here. I'm just gonna pull this back up, Glenn. Sorry if you don't mind. Okay, there you go, DK. That's fine. I think the two guys that are out, there we go. Nice. The two guys that we don't see, obviously, like you said, Adafa and Moses. I think everybody else, and Worley. Everybody else on the list goes.
I'm a little worried about Stanley because we just don't know.
I know.
With his practice, because he's just, I have to be 100%. And you can practice a lot at 90%, Jimbo.
It's true.
So, if Moses isn't going to play, we definitely need Stanley so McCary can go over to the right side. Unless they say, you know what, with a full week of practice, Falele can do a heck of a lot better than being thrusted into gameplay unexpectedly.
Yeah, who knows? And that would be okay with me, right? Like, because that means that he's better than a stellar backup, right? In McCary. So, but I think those three. But yeah, it's true. Ronnie, I think, is the other one. But the rest of them, let's go. I mean, I think ultimately, the most important thing is this week we're getting reinforcements back. Look, we're gonna have the dynamic duo of Marlon Humphrey and Brandon Stevens, Mr. Lockdown. Strap them up. Brandon Stevens, dude.
I sent you that clip, yes. Or that stat. He's the only corner, I think, in the whole league, right? Or something like that, with a certain number of one-on-one snaps to not let up a touchdown yet. That's pretty crazy to think about.
Yeah, man.
But yeah, I'm not so sure that Marlon's going to be out there, though. He's all serious.
Really?
No, only because, he practiced in full, but he's still like, he's only gotten 1 week of practice. I mean, do you think you think they would maybe just put him on a snap count to start and still get him out there? Or do you think they don't value, like, unless he's 100% ready to take on the full snap count load, then it'd be better to have a guy out there who's healthier?
Yeah, I don't know. I think ultimately it's just going to, what it's going to come down to is just him and his feel for it, but Marlon's going to want to play. That's the reason why I always lean towards him playing.
Gotcha. Okay.
So if he wants to play, I think they let him run.
Oh, I meant to hit remove and I hit add. Here's the Steelers. I saw DK's message.
Oh, I can't wait. We're playing against a Kenny Pickett that is he's a full participant. I can't wait to see Kenny Pickett under center. Boy, I can't wait.
Well, he's definitely going to have a knee brace. At least he has in practice. He has in practice had a knee brace on, but surprising to see him out there, despite the fact, I think it was a bone bruise, which I guess is more of a pain tolerance thing. It's not something he can worsen by playing on, but still kind of surprised to see him out there. Wasn't playing good particularly well before.
Oh, that was my mistake.
Wasn't playing particularly well before this injury, but I still think he's the better player than Trubisky by a slight margin. So I guess that's good for them. What do you think about Najee getting a limited practice in today?
Yeah, I think the more Najee plays, the better it is.
For the Ravens or for the Steelers?
For the Ravens, for sure. So bring it on, Najee. We won 100% of the snaps. Najee Harris on the field. Looks like he's running in mud. But this is, I think, the two most important people on this list, in my opinion, that we know are not going to play is Freiermuth. I think it's a big deal. Big and then one. Isn't Daniels the left tackle, or am I confusing him with Okafor?
Yeah, I think they got that the guy from Georgia. What's his name?
Well, yeah, but he hasn't been the permanent starter, has he? I'm pretty sure he hasn't been the permanent starter.
Yeah, we'll have to ask more about.
Because they're going to switch him over to left tackle, and I think that whole thing is going to be a big deal for them to have a vet guy out. So, to me, the offensive line health and Freiermuth is going to – those are the ones that I think are a huge deal here, at least for the Steelers, in my opinion.
No, I think you're right. I think what I heard or read today that, you know, the Steelers haven't been necessarily good off – up front anyway, and then they lost two starters for this upcoming game. So, yeah, they're obviously struggling up front, but also I think a big name on this list is Alex Highsmith. I mean, he's a talented pass rusher. He did get a limited session in on Friday, which, you know, leads you to believe he's likely to go, but he still got the questionable tag, and if they don't have him, that's going to make the Ravens' job of blocking for Lamar Jackson a heck of a lot easier. Then they can pretty much just single out TJ Watt and try and bottle him up and let other guys beat him. You know what I mean?
Yep. And speaking of which, this is completely unrelated, but coming off the list, I'm going to remove this because I want you guys to see the gratification, the joy in my face.
Oh, don't look so happy.
Dude, Cooper Kupp is back, baby.
Oh, that's right.
He's your Cooper fantasy. Kupp is back, baby. Oh, I'm going to come out the basement. Let's go. I cannot wait. 17 points. Let's go. I'm a bit nervous, actually, this game that I might be jumping the gun, but
I can't have him do too well because I got Nakua on my team. And,
you're gonna run into a problem with old Coop back, dude.
Be interesting. Numer says Scovens. I'm not saying that right.
Glenn, you are not cool enough to be saying
I'm
that,
not
dude.
At all cool enough. I don't know if I have anyone in the area or at ears reach that can step in and be cool enough to read this.
Where's Cam when you need him, dude?
I know, man. Great weekend to be in Baltimore. What up, Glenn? What's going on, Numera? Appreciate you coming out. Always like to see you in the chat.
Numera is the only person that conscientiously spells your name with one N.
Yep.
And you're okay with it, I think, at this point.
I'm good with it because I know that's just the.
It's his love language, dude.
Yeah, exactly.
That's all it is. Just his love language.
That's far, far too true. Ravens O's Nation says, let Kenny play. We owe him a beatdown for last year. He certainly broke some hearts last year and wouldn't be mad to see him get some get back here. Shout out to Cole Jackson in the chat. Says, Nate Herbig is the right guard, and he stinks. Yes. So shout out to Cole Jackson, who, by the way, went after somebody else today. On Twitter. You guys.
No, the biggest thing
him.
Is that Cola tweeted that he's getting a mic, stepping the game up.
Yeah, buddy.
Can't wait on Tuesday, Cole.
I think he already had it, didn't he?
I don't know. I just saw a tweet about it.
Oh, he hadn't had it yet. Okay.
I'm excited. So
I don't want to miss a word, man. And then last one here from Sean before we bring in our guest. Sorry, DK. Warms my heart to know James and I feel the same about Najee. I don't think you guys are alone neither. I think more and more people in the city of Pittsburgh are starting to feel the same way about Najee as James did a long time ago. But Cole Jackson called out some fan who said something about Kenny Pickett's going to have his best game of the year, and then he pulled the receipts. Cole said, is this you? And it was an old tweet that said Mason Rudolph will be a better quarterback than Lamar Jackson.
Oh, geez.
He kept the receipts, bruh.
Oh, geez. Well,
that's bad. Yeah,
that is bad. I've had some bad takes.
That's about as bad of a take.
I'm glad people don't keep all my receipts. I'm glad Cole hasn't checked our... Cole, please do not scour our Twitter 4 years ago.
Travis, it's because I thought you did it accidentally. Numer does it purposefully. It's different.
Yeah, yeah. All yeah, right? It's totally different. It's so, yeah. It's yeah. It's out of love. That's the thing. But exactly. Without any further ado.
Yeah, I'm excited.
We are excited to bring in our guest this week. He is the man of many hats, the one, the only, Chris Carter, of course, is a writer at Pittsburgh PG. He is on Locked On Steelers. Of course, he's the co-host. He's always on TV, if I'm not mistaken. This guy is everywhere when it comes to Pittsburgh. Chris Carter, the Chris Carter that is on TV way more than the Hall of Fame Chris Carter these days.
How's the it other going, man?
Welcome
Carter
to the show.
Thanks for having me, guys. Great to be back. It's been a minute.
I know. It looks like you upgraded the light game.
Oh yeah, just
and
a little
the
bit,
mic,
a little
dude.
Bit.
Look at the mic.
Oh,
okay.
sir. Yeah, we made a little move. We're in a new house in Pittsburgh, okay. So that gave me a chance to expand my desk. So you know, we're in a little bit better of a setup right now.
Dude, let me tell you what. My office right now is my mother-in-law's bedroom, so I'm totally jealous of this because I have like a 2x4 footprint is about all I have right now. So that's awesome, man. Glad to hear it. How you been?
Man, I've been good, man. It's wild times in Pittsburgh at all times, man. The crazy things happen on the football front all over the place. But, you know, it's blessed to be able to cover sports, man. Just like, you know, to be able to go to, at the end of the day, you know, people are like, oh, man, it must be rough talking about the Steelers when they lose. And I'm like, not really, because it's still football. I still get That's paid right. to go watch a sport, go talk about it afterwards, and go to sleep. So mm-hmm. I'm living the dream, gentlemen.
I love it. We certainly agree. Now, I got to get in right into the drama with you here, Let's Christopher, because – look, Matt Canada's gotten a lot of criticism nationwide as well as in Pittsburgh. And, you know, some of the stuff that's pointed out about the predictability of his play calling and you know, how he runs his offense. And then they come out and they may have found a burner account here, Mr. Christopher Carter. So what the heck is going on with Matt Canada? Is it as bad as it seems nationally?
So first, let me address the burner account thing. I actually did a TikTok and an Instagram reel about that whole burner account. That's fake. Like, that's not Matt Canada. That's a Steelers fan trying to set Matt Canada up. The way I was able to show this is people showed like that's the Steelers work email account. Yeah. No, it wasn't, because the Steelers work email accounts all start with their last name. It's not M-A, and there's not even a full first name in them. And it's not Steelers.com at the end. So I was like, that's
somebody spoofing over there.
Exactly. And you can't, when you request a password from Twitter or X or whatever it's called now, it doesn't give you any highlighted email that's like blocked out. You have to give them your own email. So like whoever did that was working overtime. And when they brought up the Boswell thing, which is from a video when they beat the Buccaneers last year, there was at one point Canada walked into the locker room and Boswell comes in like a few seconds later. And it looks like he says, it ain't because of you. I guarantee you that. And they're like, oh, he's saying Matt Canada didn't get the win. I was standing right there when it happened. I was pretty sure Matt Canada was like in the locker room and didn't hear what Boswell said. So like, there was a lot of hoopla over nothing. So do not buy into the burner account nonsense. Okay. Now do buy into Matt Canada has not been doing a good job. And yeah, I'll say that I've been saying this on the Locked On Steelers podcast and the North Shore Drive podcast for the Pittsburgh Post Gazette. I've been saying this everywhere. I don't think Matt Canada's designs are as bad as they're made out to be. I think the problem is the Steelers aren't executing basic concepts. Like, for example, everyone was so mad at the Steelers for not running on 4th-and-1 upon the play. Kenny Pickett got hurt. But if you use the all-22, you can see within 2 seconds, Calvin Austin was open over the middle. Connor Hayward was open over the middle. Najee Harris was open in the flat. And the offensive line blocked open a path for Kenny Pickett to just run up the middle and get 2 yards and get the first down and keep the drive alive. And what did he do? Ran outside of Broderick Jones, got himself sacked, and got himself hurt. Fortunately, he's back enough to play the game. Matt Canada, I think his biggest flaw, and I've said this since beginning of last year, I've always thought his biggest flaw as the Steelers OC is I'm not so sure that he's good at getting his message across to his players. I think his designs are they're not like amazing, they're not great, but they're fine. Like they like the stuff that I see, like against the Niners, everyone was like, oh man, they were so terrible against the Niners. There were open receivers all over the place. And that's where I think the Steelers are in a lot of trouble right now, is that Kenny Pickett has not been seeing the field this year. Whereas he was seeing the field in the preseason, he was seeing the field at the end of last season. All of that seems to have dissipated in these first 4 games, outside of some really good moments against the Browns and the Raiders. But I think that's the biggest problem with the Steelers offense. Matt Canada, I will say, like, you know, I don't think there's any reason to keep him after this year. The Steelers just don't need to fire him midseason, because you're not going to just invent a whole new playbook in the middle of the year. But I do think that that there's a little bit extra onus. And if you've been in Pittsburgh, they do this to everybody. Randy Feuchner was the guy before him. It was all his fault, never been Roethlisberger's fault, that the offense wasn't scoring points, even though Randy Feuchner was handpicked by Ben Roethlisberger to be the OC because basically that was just going to be Ben's offense. The guy before him, Todd Haley, everyone hated Todd Haley until all of a sudden Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell popped up, and they were like, oh, no, this is a great offense, until they wanted him fired because they lost in the playoffs one year. The guy before him, Bruce Arians, people wanted Bruce Arians out of town. If you're the OC in Pittsburgh, just know you're going to be hated no matter how well your offense does.
Mm-hmm. Well, and isn't that kind of, like you said, not getting rid of guys in the beginning? That's kind of status quo, just like you were mentioning, right? With Arians, didn't the front office step in, and didn't Tomlin want to keep him at the end of that? And then the front office kind of stepped in and said, hey, we're going to move on type situation.
Very good memory, James. Tomlin did want to keep Arians because Arians was part of the crew. He understood. Right. He had a great relationship with Ben Roethlisberger, but the front office, and particularly I think the Rooneys, they wanted to bring in Todd Haley because he was going to help Ben get the ball out quicker. At the time, Ben was getting sacked at like the highest rate ever by a quarterback because he just kept holding on to the ball. Todd Haley, in my opinion, I've said this for years, he extended Ben Roethlisberger's career by at least 5 years because once he kind of got a hold of the offense, the ball was getting out faster. It made Ben one of the least sacked quarterbacks for a few years in the NFL. And to me, that prolonged his career. If Todd Haley doesn't do that, I think Ben Roethlisberger would have been in a much worse situation by the mid 2010s.
Yeah, no, that's it would be pretty unprecedented, right, for the Steelers to let go a guy in the middle of the season, certainly when he's still under contract and things like that.
They haven't let go of a guy since I believe he was like a positions coach in like 2012, and that was not because of performance, that was because of something else. So, they almost never do it unless it's like for cause.
Right. So Steelers fans should be, you know, accepting and ready for the ups and downs of one Mr. Canada, and look forward to it, right? I mean, certainly here in Baltimore, we're okay with the fact that they're not at their absolute best and people aren't super excited about the OCs. But what I want to ask you about is I want to talk about the health of the O-line. I just mentioned this. I don't know if you were in the background when I was talking about this, but I think one of the most interesting aspects of this game is going to be the health of the O-line and how it could potentially change the way the offense plays this week. What's going on with the offensive line from a health standpoint?
Well, for one, they're going to be missing James Daniels and Dan Moore Jr., but I honestly think that might be a blessing in disguise for the Steelers. Not that Dan Moore Jr. is so terrible, but Broderick Jones is the guy they traded up for in the first round. They were kind of letting him ease into the process. I talked to former Steelers Super Bowl champion offensive tackle Max Starks. He's like, listen, a lot of Steelers fans wanted him to start day one. He was like, guys, you don't make a gourmet meal in the microwave. You make it in the oven. So he's been vouching, hey, let Broderick Jones just take in the NFL slowly. But now an injury is going to thrust him to the starting lineup. He wasn't outstanding last week against the Texans, but he was actually kind of decent, especially when they got running the ball. That's where Broderick Jones is going to be the best at. When they want to run the ball his way, he is big, physical. He is athletic. He is going to be tough to stop in those spots, and that's where he's going to be an asset. Now, James Daniels, that's another story. Nate Herbig, who is the right guard that's replacing him, did not have a good first outing with the Steelers last week against the Texans. I had him as one of the worst graded guys on the offensive line for that game. That could be a problem if he's out there, if he doesn't get it together. But also, I think the one thing is the Steelers, they are kind of, you know, coalescing as an offensive line. You know, this year they've dealt with some injuries. Last year they were the luckiest offensive line in the country. Every single starter started at all 17 games last year. So that rarely happens. I think it's starting to come back around, just the injury luck of how things work in the NFL. But I think Broderick Jones will be fine in this game. I think the biggest thing, can he pick his blind side? I think the Steelers are going to try and help him as much as they can. They've got Darnell Washington in at tight end. He's a really good blocking tight end and a former teammate of his at Georgia. I think they'll have a good rhythm. Jaylen Warren, Najee Harris, both good pass protectors. I think they'll help that. The biggest key for me is going to be, can this group come together? Najee Harris challenged this offense on Wednesday after practice, and I was there for that. He was talking about how we came out, we've been soft. We have to turn that around. You cannot be soft in Ravens week, and that's where I think the Steelers' biggest tonal shift has to be in this game. It's not about Matt Canada and play calls. It's a little bit about Kenny Pickett and making smarter decisions, but it's a lot of it about on both sides of the ball being more physical at the point of attack, being the type of team that Mike Tomlin was talking about them being all through the offseason.
Well, who's challenging Najee Harris?
I'm going to dispel this myth. Jaylen Warren is not challenging Najee. I know there's some Steelers fans. They're like, oh, come on, it can be Jaylen. Listen, J- Jaylen Warren, a lot of his runs happen because no one's looking for Jaylen Warren. And I like Jaylen Warren. Like, he's awesome story. Undrafted guy, came up. I talked to the Steelers running back coach. They said, Chris, we thought he was the sixth best running back in his class. And when he was undrafted, we said, we're definitely getting that guy. But he's not taking Najee Harris's spot. And if you look at some of the runs that Jaylen Warren has been able to get, oftentimes it's because defenses aren't looking for him, or he runs, like, he'll run into a set where the run defense wasn't looking for him, or they weren't overcrowding it. Oftentimes Najee Harris is getting the ball, everyone is going to the line. They do not want to let him get started, because they know if they let him get started, it's going to be bad for them. As the Texans started to find out in the second half last week, Najee Harris was even getting hit in the backfield and still getting 15 plus yards. In fact, Najee Harris has the most 15 plus yard runs in the NFL right now. He also averages almost a full yard per carry more than Jaylen Warren. So I think Steelers fans, there's some out there that they hold a grudge against Najee Harris because they don't believe in drafting running backs in the first round and all that. I think Najee Harris, someone pointed this out. Najee Harris doesn't have great numbers, but his numbers are very much lock and step with Marshawn Lynch's numbers when he was with the Bills. Mm-hmm. And it's a similar situation. Forming offensive line, not a real passing game in his first few years in the NFL. I think that as things progress for the Steelers, if they can get better on the offensive line, if Kenny Pickett can just be a little bit more efficient with the ball, that's going to open up the doors for Najee Harris to succeed.
Mm-hmm. Now, Chris, I want to ask you a question a bit about off the field. We talk a lot about the Steelers Ravens rivalry. And of course, being older, you know, we're not old, but older guys, we all remember the glory days of Ravens Steelers. Now, I think that postseason matchup certainly helped make the rivalry more intense, and we haven't had those as of late. But mm-hmm. What's the city of Pittsburgh feel about this rivalry? Is it still Baltimore being the most, you know, hated rival, or is maybe one of the other North teams starting to take a little bit of that?
You know, I think it's not even about the playoffs. I think it's that these teams kind of respect each other now. Like, back in like the late 2000s, there was like a I hate you, you're not as good as you are, you think. I think both the Steelers and the Ravens kind of look at each other like, yeah, you're that franchise. You're the dog. We see each other's top dogs. We want to beat each other every year. We're not like friends or nothing, but I think there's more of a mutual respect between these organizations. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of been the shift from teams like the Bengals and the Browns, who are trying to prove that they are these organizations and they haven't won one yet. But both the Ravens and the Steelers have won two since the turn of the millennia. I think there's a mutual respect. And again, it's not like they're best friends. They're still going to want to beat each other. They're still going to talk smack. They're still going to be back and forth. They're definitely still rivals. But I think that as time has settled, a lot of those bigger personalities, Ray Lewis, Joey Porter, even though Joey Porter Jr. is on the roster right now, but a lot of those bigger personalities, they've kind of not been part of it for a while. So it's been a bit different as far as the stakes. But I mean, like, you hear guys still hyping it up. There's still, you know, Najee Harris was talking about, it's Ravens week. This is as real as it gets. You know, he snatched the Ravens fans flag last year after he scored the game winning touchdown. You hear Patrick Queen and Roquan Smith talking this week about the Steelers. These guys still care about it. I just think that there's not the huge personalities that we saw for years about this rivalry, nor like the crazy hits. I mean, this rivalry was all based on physicality. Haloti Ngata breaking Ben Roethlisberger's nose through his face mask. Ray Lewis hitting hard. James Harrison hitting hard. Hines Ward hitting hard. All those things. Those are less part of the game. And so I think that's less part of the animus in this rivalry.
Yeah. No, you talked about Joey Porter Jr. I want to talk about Joey Porter Jr. and what's going on in the cornerback, position for the Steelers. You know, Patrick Peterson comes over. He's a vet. You got Joey Porter over there. Patrick Peterson calls Zay Flowers a munchkin. So I'm looking forward to learn a little bit about this cornerback room. How have you assessed them so far when it comes to that room in general, specifically those two guys, being that they are first year Steelers?
Yeah. So Levi Wallace is still there. He's kind of the veteran holdover that they kind of have there. And he started off real rough this season. I think he rebounded, like, his first two games were two of his worst games ever as a Steeler. The last two games, I think he's held in there a little bit better. Patrick Peterson, he's been so hot and cold. I mean, like, there's times where he's like, in the Raiders game, he was solid in doing what he had to do in the moment. He had a big interception. He's had some good breakups here and there, but against the Texans, Nico Collins just took his lunch. And I think that there's Patrick Peterson. It's like there's that still that respect for him, and the Steelers want to play their veterans because they're going to know the system. They're trying to get the communication down. Joey Porter Jr. is just waiting for his chance. He's been getting, you know, little chances here, little chances there, more and more spots. He's been targeted, I think, like 6 times and only allowed one catch so far this season. It is my opinion. I think Mike Tomlin and the Steelers coaching staff, I think they're playing this card a little bit too long and waiting to give Joey Porter Jr. starting time on the outside. Let him work on the outside. He's fast. He's physical. He's aggressive. He's going to be able to play that role. And that way you can move Patrick Peterson around in different roles if you want. But I think Patrick Peterson, at this stage of his career, he's more of the wily veteran than the super athlete cornerback that he used to be. And I think that's where the Steelers need to see improvement in their secondary is their cornerbacks haven't been there. I also think the Steelers are kind of making a mistake right now, scheme-wise, with how they're using Minkah Fitzpatrick. Minkah Fitzpatrick, as you guys know, normally he's that middle free safety. He either's deep in the middle or he's playing the robber in the middle, and he's tricking you on where those spots are. Now the Steelers are putting him at outside corner, slot corner, extra linebacker, and as well as both the safety positions. And I think doing all that has kind of taken – he's still good. Like, he's still, you know, in there and making a difference, but – in doing that, you've taken away his best attribute, and that's him taking away the middle part of the field and scaring people from throwing there. And I think that's another mistake the Steelers have had. So this secondary right now, they have this thing, this defense, their whole thing is they've been turnover crazed. If they're getting turnovers, if they're getting to the quarterback, or if they're preying on quarterback's mistakes, they're playing well. But if you're running right at them, they haven't been strong yet. Granted, they're missing Cam Hayward. That's a big deal, but they got to overcome that. They added defensive line depth to address that. I think that they need to see better performances there from one, their run defense, and then especially if they do that, that's what that allows their pass rush to get in order. But if the Ravens can run the ball, keep their second and third downs to like second and four, third and two, those type of situations, they'll be able to take the Steelers defense's lunch on Sunday.
Mm. Yeah, it's crazy to think about. A Steelers defense, when I saw the numbers, what they've given up to number one receivers throughout mm-hmm. this season is just mm-hmm. crazy to think about. But so, you know, I'll be hoping that Zay has similar numbers to those other guys, which I think it's pretty clear he's the number one here in Baltimore, even with OBJ expected to play. Yeah, it's pretty clear. And to credit Jimbo here, he called it day one. Kadri Ismail said he was crazy. And Jimmy said
on our show during a live event,
the Rocket said he was crazy.
He laughed me off the set, Chris. Laughed off the set.
Yep. Listen, I covered Zay Flowers when he was in the ACC of Boston College. Whenever Pitt had to go up against him, I'm like, that dude's about to have a good day. Like, I just seeing him, I know how bad he is. And like, I feel like Patrick Peterson is trying to like do like the veteran thing where he's like, he called on Munchkin, but he also praised him. He's like, that dude is fast and explosive. And I feel like he's trying to like, you know, egg him on, but also let him know like there's a respect level there, but he's still a rookie and all that. But the Steelers very much know Zay Flowers is going to be, he's going to be on his thing.
They finally found one, Chris.
Yeah, right. It has been a minute. It has been a minute. And I think that's the coolest thing about this Ravens offense is that finally Lamar Jackson got some weapons, right?
Finally,
whoever that was that you guys were calling out for saying that Mason Rudolph was a better quarterback in the draft than Lamar Jackson. I was one of those people that was telling everybody Lamar Jackson's that dude. I remember writing an article that like Lamar Jackson needs to be the first round pick quarterback that the Steelers look at. And everyone's like, oh, Mason Rudolph would be that guy. And they got him in the third round that year. But like, I was like, y'all are stupid if you think that Mason Rudolph is anywhere near the level of Lamar Jackson. And I think that now you're starting to see Lamar would get used to Zay Flowers. Mark Andrews is still there. If ODB can come back, I think Lamar's going to be back in that conversation with the top quarterbacks in the NFL.
Mm-hmm. I like how you called him ODB. That's old dirty bastard, Chris. You're showing your age here, Chris.
You're right. What am I doing? I'm a hip hop fan. What you talking about?
You're showing it, man. All right. Well, we got to know your prediction for this Sunday. It looks like Kenny Pickett's going to be out there. You'd know better than us. What do you think happens?
Now, really quickly, Chris. Chris, before you give your prediction, if you remember, you are the guy that in 2019, you called the Steelers to beat the Ravens when you guys had a backup quarterback, I think.
Yeah, was it Rudolph?
Yeah. Was it
Rudolph? No, it was Devlin Hodges.
Duck Hodges.
So my question to you, just like Glenn said, I just want to ask, what's your prediction of this game? Because I'll never forget that. Because Chris, shout out to you. That was back when we were a pod. We weren't even on video yet.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I remember when you made that prediction, we're just listening to you literally in a Zoom. And Glenn and I looked over at each other because this is how ghetto our setup was. We shared a microphone. Shared a mic. Like, so we were like this, right? On, you know, and I looked at him and I was like, This guy just picked the Steelers to beat the Ravens in 2019 with a backup quarterback. So my question is, just like Glenn said, what do you think happens this game?
Jeez, my word, fellas. I mean, Devin
Hodges. I didn't say any of that, Chris. That was all Jimmy.
Look, Devin Hodges beat a lot of teams that year. That was a crazy year for the Steelers. I thought that they might have one more in him. In fact, he almost beat him when Juju Smith-Schuster fumbled.
He did. I was biting my nails that whole
fumble. Thank goodness for Marlon.
I was like, gosh, right? Dang it, Chris is going to be right.
But my whole thing about this year, I think the Ravens have a lot of good things going for them right now. Their pass defense is allowing the fewest yards per passing attempt right now. Their run defense is allowing the seventh fewest allowed rushing yards per attempt right now, and those are two really good things they have going for them. I do think they face some favorable opponents. I think they face the Texans in their first game rather than their fourth game, and CJ Stroud wasn't coming along. The Colts with Gardner Minshew, the Browns without Deshaun Watson, and who was their other opponent? I'm losing right now. The Bengals, and they've not been so
enjoyable to watch.
I'm not going to take joy in anyone's pain, especially with Joe Burrow being injured. That's not very nice, guys.
Hey, he was healthy when we played him. He got hurt on the last play of our game. He was healthy when we played him.
I get it. You're in a different situation than us, man.
But my whole thing is, I do wonder how much of those defensive numbers are because of the opponents they've played. But yeah. Even still, I always have respect for the Ravens organization, what they're able to do. I think that the Steelers, they're going to come into this game. They have, like Tom pushed the extra padded practice. I think they're going to be coming in. Their whole thing is they're going to be physical. I think that I think one thing that happened with the Steelers leading into this season, in the preseason, the Steelers were throwing the ball all over the place. Kenny Pickett couldn't miss. They scored five touchdowns in five drives. All of a sudden, everyone was like, wait a minute. Maybe this doesn't have to be a ground-and-pound team. Maybe this can be an aired-out team. And I think in the first four games, they tried that, and they realized that's not who we are. We hit some crazy things. We need to get back to being Steeler football. I think this is the game. You see the Steelers go for Steelers football. It's physical. It's AFC North. This is going to have that old-school back-and-forth feeling. But I feel like in the fourth quarter, what's going to happen is the Ravens, they're going to make just enough plays. Justin Tucker's going to make a long field goal. It's going to give the Ravens a 6-point lead. It's going to come down to Kenny Pickett. Can he pull off another touchdown drive? I think the Ravens defense has an answer. I say the Ravens win 23-17 in Pittsburgh, and Steelers go into the bye 2-3. Now, I do think this sets up the Steelers. The biggest thing for the Steelers to me in this game, they're in a much better position than they were last year, where they started out like 1-5 and then 2-6 heading into the bye back then. If the Steelers find that identity in this game, if they at least – they don't have to win. If they can just run the football well and be better at stopping the run and get those physical components there, they'll be set up to have a better rest of their season. But they have to find that identity of this game. If they don't, the Ravens will run away with this one, and then it'll be even worse.
Mm. Whew. Well, I tell you what, every year I tell Glenn is that I get nervous about the second half of the year because the Steelers and the Browns seem to do opposite things.
Where, they do.
You know what I mean? And so the sooner, for our sake, like if we want to take the North, the sooner we can get the Steelers out of contention, because if they hang on, gosh dang it, they won't.
No, Mike Tomlin. They just come out of nowhere.
Every year it's to the last moment. So I want them to be out early as much as possible as they can be. So I agree with you. I think it's going to be a competitive physical competition. Chris, we're so grateful for you coming on, man. It's always awesome. Thank you so much. Let all the folks know where they can find the stuff you're working on. I know they'd definitely check it out.
Absolutely. You can find me at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. That's post-gazette.com. All my things, I cover Pitt Athletics there. I also do some Steelers work on the North Shore Drive podcast for them. I also use the Locked On Steelers podcast. You can get it on YouTube, your favorite podcasting app. That's Monday through Friday. I also work for our local NBC station, Channel 11 WPXI, where I break things down. In fact, about 45 minutes from now, I'm driving out to it. We're doing our high school football highlights show for all the Skylights here in Pittsburgh. So all those different things, check me out at Carter Critiques on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok if you want to see my other stuff.
Awesome. Thank you so much, man. Once again, enjoy the evening. Enjoy the weekend. We certainly will here in Baltimore with Orioles baseball and Ravens football.
Absolutely.
Looking forward to it, man. Thank you once again. Have a great one.
Thanks, you guys.
Thanks, Chris. Nice. Cool. I hope he enjoys the game. I tell you what, if you have to find your physicality as a football team, I wouldn't want to take on this Ravens front seven.
No.
I wouldn't want to do it that way. No thanks.
Yeah.
Good luck to them. But I think that this front seven is gearing up. Every week they're getting better. And
I tell you what, I'm excited that if the media still believes in Najee Harris. You keep on believing. Don't stop believing. Because look, that's fine with me. Like, go down with the ship.
Yeah, man. Hey, next time, go all in on the singing. Don't hold back like you did, dude. I want to hear it, dude. I want to hear you. Dude, melt let me tell it you, out.
I love some Journey too, dude.
Hey, I'll sing some, dude.
One of the first times
he's in me, you play some Journey.
Dude, one of the first times Ty and I hung out, she had a Journey shirt on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I fell in love. I was like, that's it.
That's it.
Dude, it's over. It was awesome, dude. I'll never forget that. She still has the shirt. And yeah, it was a good time.
Nice. Good, yeah, good, good. Laura says, I think the Ravens should win this game with no issues. And if we do, I don't think we will make – hold on. And if we do, I don't think we will make a Super Bowl run. Just my hold on. What?
Yeah.
Can you read that again? Am I misreading that?
I think the Ravens should win this game with no issues. And if we do, I don't think we will make a Super Bowl run. Just my thought. Wait. I think she meant I do think we will make a Super Bowl run. Laura. Oh, yeah. Opposite. Sorry. So she says, yeah. All right. So we got you. We got you, Laura. Yeah. Yeah, I hope you're right. I mean, look, I think Chris said it nice. Like he said it correctly. The Ravens have a lot of good things going for them right now. I think it's a bit more than that. I think that's a very warm thing to say about the Ravens, right? But like, I think we have more than a lot of good things going for us. I think we got a hell of a good football team from top to bottom. Yeah, we ain't perfect, but I think we got excellent coaches, excellent coordinators. I think the Ravens are just a high quality football team right now. And the NFL is starting to realize. You can blame it on the backup quarterbacks we played against, whatever. That's fine. That's Joey fine. B, you say, I mean, look, before the season started, everybody and their mom was on Joey B, right?
Mm-hmm. With his fake swag.
Yeah, with his, yeah, right, exactly. So look, man, he can go out there, get the big check, get the teeth white, and get the hair done up. You got to go out there and play football, Joey.
Mm-hmm. And he's looking not so hot. But Jimbo, we got a lot to get into. We got to start covering preview of this game here. SMKG says, if Marlon comes back, who's starting next to him? Man, I mean, look, it's hard for me not to say Jimmy's boy. But I love what I've seen from Roby at the same time. So I'd be fine with either of those guys. I think Marlon might be doing some work inside. So it's possible we see both of them on the outside. And Marlon kicked inside. It really just kind of depends on the down, the distance situation. I think we're going to see all those guys playing a lot of snaps. So as far as who starts, I don't think that matters much. Look at the high leverage situations. Look who's in there in big time third downs. And that'll kind of tell you who they think is best and where they're best in what role.
Yeah, I wouldn't be mad. Just like you said, Glenn, I think that's a solid three. Wherever the best guys got to play, they got to play. I know Marlon doesn't have an issue with that. At least I don't think so. He just wants to get out there and play.
No, you can literally put him at D tackle and he'd be right. Like, all right, coach, hold on. Let me get myself ready.
Yeah, let me get the big pads on.
You know, I think he would sign up for it. But let's start getting into it here. Let's talk Steelers defense versus Ravens offense. Of course, you know, the Steelers defense right now is not the defense you're used to seeing. They're right now ranked 23rd in the league, giving up 25 points per game. They're 30th in the National Football League, giving up 403 yards per game. 400 plus yards for a Steelers defense. I don't care how many games in the season is absolutely insane.
Dick Butkus just out there turning his grave. Dude, yeah, any defense playing that poorly. Rip Dick Butkus.
Yeah, exactly. And then let's see, third down conversions. They're middle of the pack. They sit at 15th. They give up a 38% conversion rate on third down. I mean, look, they're not the Pittsburgh defense you're used to seeing. They don't do well on third. They're not the sack defense that you're used to seeing. They're 13th in sack percentage. So it's kind of interesting to see the team playing the way it is. It looks like they're trying to bring Minka into that Kyle Hamilton role, and I don't think that's the best role for old Minka Fitzpatrick. But they still got some guys to worry about, Jimbo. Like, they still got T.J. Watt, who's an absolute freak of nature. If Alex Highsmith plays, he's a bona fide pass rusher, double digit sack guy. Mm-hmm. Got to watch out for him. I'm perplexed by Joey Porter Jr. Like, it's like he, you know, Chris says that they're holding him back, but aren't coaches holding guys back usually because they don't think they're ready? Like, they're not holding them back because they think he's going to go out there and play like an all pro tomorrow, right? Like, or that, yeah. If that was the case, he'd be starting
out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, look, if you guys remember Hans' pick we had on the show, Craig, of course, and he was on the live draft show, very low on Joey Porter Jr. Did not want him, thinks he is overly physical and overly reliant on that part of his game. And he doesn't have the wheels, the hip flex, you know, the ability to, the looseness in his hips to keep up with the receivers in the NFL. So, that could be it. There could be a lot of protecting going on there. And okay, let's keep teaching him. Let's keep teaching him, because they don't want him to go out there and just bomb, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see how that goes from a matchup standpoint. But like you said, it's a Steelers defense. I mean, 403 is putrid. There's no other way to put
crazy.
It. But they're going to have some extra juice this game, and they got names. I know they're hurting from not having their big boy in the middle, Hayward, of course, amongst other guys. And then just like you mentioned in the injury report, what, Highsmith? It's Highsmith, right?
Yep.
Yeah, yeah, I was Highsmith, Hightower. Anyway, Highsmith is another guy that they're certainly going to miss. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what the Ravens do. Now let's talk about the Ravens offense, who I think it has been doing really well. Of course, Lamar's come off a 4-touchdown game. Mark Andrews seems to have a bit of a resurgence. And the big thing is that it looks like we're going to get OBJ and Bateman back this week. If we understand correctly, things could possibly still change. Maybe Stanley as well. Now, of course, Morgan Moses is most likely going to miss. Stanley is, I would say, a coin toss. And look, you said it, Glenn, they still got some boys up front that can get to the quarterback. So that ultimately will have an impact on this game as well. But as far as my offensive key to the game, Glenn, I'll tell you what it is. And I've said it before in the past, and I don't mind repeating it, but it's really run at the pass rushers, right? Get one TJ Watt with his hands on his hips, breathing deep. But the reason why it's going to mean so much in this game, you talked about the 403, because I have no confidence in their secondary's ability to hang with our receivers right now, or Mark Ange. I feel that they feel very poorly about these matchups. So if early you get some doses of Gus, you hit them in the mouth a couple times, you get them back on their heels, right? And then you get a little play action game in there. Look out. I think my key to the game was going to be to push the ball down the field, like take more vertical shots. And that's part of this, but this rushing the football at the pass rushers, I think needs to happen first for the second part to come along. And so I think that's going to be even more important this game, to be able to run the football soundly and then turn around and take shots and hopefully dice apart this secondary. So I don't think it'll be like a 3 yards pile of dust type game. I think this is my key to the game, to set up the pass really well.
Yeah, I hope they lean on the run game. I'll say this. The Steelers aren't a good defense. Like, yep. they're just not. But they do average 2 takeaways a game. You know, so when I look at this game, I think if the Ravens just don't hurt themselves, they're probably going to be in good position to win the game, because they don't score offensively. They scored like one of the games they won. They're only 2-2. One of the games they won, they had 2 defensive touchdowns and still barely beat the Browns. So I look at like, as long as my key to the game is don't turn the ball over. Punting is absolutely okay. Because I think the only way the Steelers stay in this game is if the Ravens turn it over and set up their offense for a short field, and maybe then they can punch it in and get 7. If the Steelers have to consistently go 75, 80 yards every drive, there's no chance they're putting up points. Like, they might get in field goal range, but they're not consistently driving 75 yards and getting touchdowns against this defense. They're just not doing it. Kenny Pickett's not playing well enough. The offensive line isn't blocking well enough. I think it is, even punting is fine. I would be more than happy if they go out and they just play, I wouldn't say conservative, but don't take any risks with the ball. Put the ball in the chest of the running back. No flipping the ball to the running back. If the throw isn't there, let's not try and squeeze it in, because literally chances don't need to be taken. These guys they're just not good enough to beat us unless we help them beat us. And then Rashad Bateman, to me, is my breakout player, only because he has not done it yet this year. And I feel like they're going to use this. They know that the attention that Zay is going to be getting. OBJ, obviously, because of his name. I think Bateman's just going to be the guy that flies lowest under the radar. And for that reason, I think Monken has a package for him. I think he gets 5 catches and a tutty this weekend.
I like it. I've been waiting for him to have that game. Like you said, it's just a numbers game at this point. I hope it happens. So you know, you're right. My breakout player of the game for this one is old Gus Edwards. And I think it just goes back to what I said about the leaning on the rush attack early. I think he's going to be successful at that. And I think he's, you know, him and TJ Watt might be the best UFC fighter in the NFL. But I think if he has old Gus Edwards coming at him 18 times a game, it's just going to get tiring. Mm-hmm. So Sean Pisker says at the end of the game, did you already read this? Sorry.
No.
At the end of the day, you play who play. Ravens mm-hmm. keep this train rolling. That's right. You're absolutely right. I mean, you can only play who's on your schedule. You can only play who's on the field. Because plus, trust me, how many teams have benefited from a banged up Ravens team year after year after year? Hey, you heard Joey B spouting off about our throw for whatever. What was a 450 or something, 500 yards? Dude, against no one. No one.
What'd you just do? Signed.
Yeah, go on a podcast now, Joey.
Yeah.
Like, anyway, we're not here to talk about the Bengals.
He's not bragging anymore, is he?
Yeah, yeah. Go sit on the Elk Boys or whatever the frick that podcast is called.
I don't remember any teams apologizing for beating the Ravens when they were hurt. Do you?
No. This is the pros. Mm-mm. So get over it.
Yeah. I'm okay with I look, I'm not mad at all that they're facing their third straight backup quarterback. Not mad at all. And look, to Chris's point, he's right. I'm glad we played the Texans in week one because that looks like a team that's going to continue to get better. I'm happy with how the schedule laid out in some degree. But, let me get back into...
let's switch it up.
Yeah, this other side of the ball here. We got to talk about this Steelers offense going up against this vaunted, Jimbo. And I mean vaunted Ravens defense that is just playing absolutely no games. You know what? I just love me some Roquan Smith. Like, that guy is every GM, every head coach, and every fan's perfect player. Like, this guy lives, breathes, and sleeps football. I love his respect for, you know, the history of the game, the history of the rivalry between these two teams. I love that he says, look, I'm proud to be a Raven, and I know that you're not truly a Raven until you've beaten the Steelers, and certainly beating them in their house helps. So I love that. I love his mentality of, look, when we go to your house, we're coming to beat you in front of your wife and kids. I love that. I love that. I think he's bringing such like swagger and toughness and confidence to this defense that I think it's going to be a long afternoon for the squealers here, Jimbo. Of course, you got to keep your eyes on some guys. George Pickens is a talented 50-50 ball guy. Calvin Austin will take the roof off the defense, and he seemingly has a bone to pick with the Ravens because they passed on him in the draft. And then your guy, Najee Harris. Look, he's still going to get a lot of opportunities, so you gotta you know, keep your eye on him. But Jimbo, I have been so unimpressed with Kenny Pickett this year. And look, I agree. I don't think Matt Canada does a good job of connecting with his players, which is, by the way, a huge part of the job. I don't care how good a coach you are, if you can't relate and connect to your players, they're not going to listen to a damn thing you have to say. But I don't know if it's Canada or if it's. I think just Kenny Pickett's just a backup in starters' clothing right now. But what do you see as a way they could, like, do you see any avenue, unless there's like a catastrophic issue with injuries at the start of this game? Like, how can the Steelers take advantage and maybe move the ball and score some points?
Well, yeah, if you're specifically talking, it's got to be short fields. It really comes back to their defense. If Lamar fumbles the ball a couple times, or, you know, we turn the ball over, you know, via interception or something of that nature. I think that's the way that their offense takes advantage of. Even then, in the red zone, what's it like 6.8%? We're allowing touchdowns. I mean,
it's crazy, and we're scoring 80% on our red zones.
Yeah, so I think it's a difficult day for Kenny Pickett. I'm obviously a Ravens fan, but I don't know if I see a way that he can have ultimate success. I guess the only thing I can say is that the guys up front have got to block better than the defensive line can. You know, he's got to win their matchups, and the wide receiver's got to win their matchups. Other than that, there's really no other way. I don't think Kenny Pickett's going to beat you by himself. And so he's definitely no Lamar Jackson that way, where Lamar can do things when nothing else is working. So I really think that that's it. I could be maybe naive or arrogant here, and I know every week is an NFL team and anything can happen. But if we just take care of the football, we win this football game. And speaking of our defense versus their offense, we certainly will dominate that matchup. Did you give your, no, you didn't yet. Go ahead.
Yeah. My defensive key is just no big plays. I don't see this offense for the Steelers being able to put together a 10-12 play drive that again spans 70-75 yards. I don't see Kenny Pickett making the correct decisions, a good enough throws. I don't see the offensive line holding up and blocking for the run game or the pass long enough to sustain that type of drive. So to me, the only way they score is either short fields, which I covered in my offensive key, or big plays, which is now my defensive key. Can't give up big plays. Can't let Calvin Austin run by you. Can't let George Pickens win a 50-50 ball, which we've seen him do against the Ravens in the past, even with Marlon Humphrey out there. You just can't, you got to limit the big plays. And look, I know Najee Harris, we bash him a lot, mainly because he seemingly always, we see him get compared to Gus, and we're Gus guys. But Chris is right. Najee does lead the league in 15-plus yard runs, and that's a big play to me. So to me, it's all about limiting big plays both on the ground and through the air. I just can't imagine they can put together a 10-15 play drive. So they have to do it with chunks. Limit the chunks, Jimbo.
I couldn't agree more, Glenn. And who is your breakout player?
It's Roquan. I mean, this guy's going to have a 15 tackles, Jimbo. He's going to break up a couple passes. He's going to absolutely, not only is he going to sack Kenny Pickett, he's going to drive him into the dirt with his sack. I mean, it's going to be bad.
I love it. Well, I'm going to start with my breakout player before my key, because I think it's his running mate. I think after, man, I tell you what, when I heard PQ and I saw the look in his face about what Tomlin said to him, disrespectful.
Yeah, man.
Disrespectful. And let me tell you what, he's going to come out there high flying and physical. And I think he shows out this game and looks over Tomlin, you know, and gives him a little bit of love, if you will. As my player of the game, my defensive player of the game. And I've said this one before too, and it bears repeating. Make them one dimensional. What I mean by that is they're having issues in the O-line. Left tackle is going to be out. They're putting the young guy over there. Like Chris mentioned, I think, you know, they're starting tight end is out. I think by default, they're going to try and run the football a lot. And guess what? That's okay with me, because it's not going to work out. But if you make, if you stop the run and make them start to pass, it's going to be a long, long day for one Kenny Pickett. He's certainly going to
have. How are they going to run the ball? I just don't see how.
But I just don't know how they can do anything else. I think that's their only way, right? Is if you look at where their playmakers are, right? And what their offensive line, this young offensive line, can do, I think that's the only way where they have a potential to win their matchups is by being in a run-heavy offense. I just don't see it any other way.
Yeah, and that's a lot to ask, because, man, Broderick's playing out of his mind. Metabike, Travis Jones is playing so well. And, I mean, Clowney has been absolute. Like, if you just look at all, like, the edge rankings, it's, like, so crazy to see Clowney just up there with all those names that you're traditionally used to seeing up there. And then Clowney's up there. I love seeing that Ravens emblem right next to him there. It's awesome. But if him, Van Noy continues to I'm certainly, you know, learn the playbook more. I'm sure he's going to build his role as the season goes, even with, even when Adafe Owe comes back. I still think Van Noy is going to be a huge, huge piece going forward. But I just can't see how they run against this front seven. And even to some degree, you know, with the help you get from the secondary, I don't see how they do it. And yeah, I have no faith that Kenny Pickett can beat us. So again, don't help him on offense and stop the big play. I think this is going to be a good one, but Jimbo, it's about that time.
Let's do it.
We got to do our fan and inner show competition for the week. And if you guys are new to the channel, every week we have a series of over-unders that we have to predict. And whoever correctly predicts the most over-unders or wins the tiebreaker at the end wins the show competition. Of course, we have our inner competition as well as our fan competition. So if you guys want to participate, simply wait for this live to be over and put your predictions in the comments below, or message us in one of the social media handles above my head, all your answers. And yeah, that's how you enter. And if you win, you get a free shirt or a free hoodie. Yeah, it's pretty easy.
All right. And one thing I will say is that, as always, this competition is brought to you by our sponsor, BetUS. BetUS is the OG when it comes to sports gambling. There's all kinds of imposters. There you go. But don't get it twisted. BetUS is the place to go. Use the promo code 410 or use the link in the description that DK has so graciously placed there. And get a 125% match up to $2,500. Go bet on the game this weekend, because I'm going to bet. I don't know what the line is, but I'm willing to bet that it's closer than it's going to be. because it's Ravens, Steelers, and this, that, and the other. But guess what, ladies and gentlemen? History out the window this week because Lamar Jackson and the Ravens offense and defense are about some serious dominance. So check out BetUS. Help us out here at the show. Make yourself some money. It's a, what does Michael Scott say? It's a win, 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 win.
Win. Situation. That fourth win, baby. That's yeah. Right.
A four-win situation, ladies and gentlemen. So go check it out. All right, let's get right into it, DK. What do we got? What do we got? All right, over under number one, Lamar Jackson yards per passing attempt, 8.0. His average on the season is 7.6. All right, Glenn, I'll tell you know I'm going over on this one. I think DK is doing the same. Where are you going?
Yeah, I'm going over as well. There's been a lot of short passes this year. I think we start to see them kind of hit people in the intermediate to deep range a little more often. So I'm going to say over.
I like it. I like it. We all agree on this one. Let's move forward. What's to the next one? Okay, over under. Mark Andrews targets 4.5. 5 targets last week. All right. So I'm going over, and I think this is where we disagree. Yep. I think Mark Andrews' role continues to not improve. What's the word?
Evolve?
No. It continues to increase.
Okay.
Within the offense. I think it kind of got off to a slow start, the injury, all that stuff. But yep. Mark's back, baby. Mark's getting more than 4.5 targets. Book it. Well,
look, I think he gets 4. So I'm going to say under.
1.25.
OBJ's back. Bateman's back. Nelson's still there doing his thing. I think there's just too many mouths to feed to get Mark more than 4. And let's keep in mind, I think he's going to see a lot of Minka. And I know Minka hasn't, you know, looked like the Minka that we're used to seeing. But I think Minka's going to be in charge of Mark Andrews. And for that reason, we'll take the easier options, which I think will be plentiful. And so Mark will end up with just 4. And DK agrees with me for those exact reasons.
Oh, I can't wait till Sunday. I can't believe you guys.
We're talking 3 in a row, baby.
No,
3 in a row, right?
All right, let's go to the defense.
Shout out Lisa Ann in the chat.
Yeah, you guys keep riding. Go ahead.
That's right.
Over under number 3. This is the there's offensive and defensive. There's 2 and 2. So first defense one, Roquan Smith, passes defended. 1.5 passes defended. 2 last week. Mm-hmm. Glenn, what say you, sir?
You know, I'm going to say under. I think he gets 1. And the reason I say under is Pat Freiermuth isn't playing. So I think the middle of the field isn't going to be attacked quite as much as you would with Pat in there. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to try and get the ball out quick to the edges. And so for that reason, I just don't think he'll have the opportunity to break up. But I do think he gets 1. So I say under.
Yeah, I like your rationale. Originally, I was going to – when I saw it at first, I thought over. I was like, you know what? Over because it's Kenny Pickett. And remember what happened last year with Trubisky, that was why he got pulled, right? Was the back-to-back interceptions essentially by PQ and then by Roquan. But I'm also going to say,
ones, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, talk about displays of athleticism. But I'm going to say under on this one as well, because I think that 2's just a lot. I don't, I like your rationale.
Linebacker.
Yeah, you know what I mean? My mind went originally like, I just think it's a lot. I just think it's a lot. So I'm going with under on this one. DK says.
He says it's not a lot.
All right. He says over. So this is where if DK is going to get an edge right here, right?
This could be his area. Yeah. Yep. Especially over me. Cause I think all the other ones we've agreed with. So yeah. Exactly. All right. And then the last one of Kyle Van Noy over under 1.5 tackles. He had 0 last week, despite playing a pretty decent snap share, being as though he was only here for like 4 days before the game. So I got to imagine it's only going to increase. He's going to get 2 tackles. Like he's going to play more on the edge. I do think that your guy, Malik Harrison, is going to do a little bit in the downs 1 and 2, but we're going to see a lot of Kyle Van Noy on third down this week. So 2 tackles is what I say he gets.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, Glenn. I also agree. I think just his load is going to increase. And so I'm taking over as well. And so is DK. So we all align on this one. So we have a few differences here. Obviously, the second and the third, the Mark Andrews one and the Roquan one are really where the winning is going to be done. Now, if somehow, which I think, but at least between us internally, I don't think it can be a tie after the 4. But if it is, whether it's us internally or also you guys, you know, that are submitting your guesses, the first tiebreaker is the total score set at 38 points for the over under. I went over here. I think the Ravens get a dominant victory. I think there's a chance the Ravens put up 38 points themselves in this game. So I'm going over. Ravens get the win. What about you, Glenn?
Yeah, I say over as well. I think the Ravens win pretty handily. I got them winning 28-13, which would put it at 41 as the total. I think this game is over. This could be another scenario where we see Tyler Huntley. We saw him last week. Yeah. We saw him last week on the road. Why won't we see him again this week?
True.
I think it's an inferior team.
You're absolutely right. Yeah. All right, let's go to the very last one here. DK is saying that this over-under for the points. Sorry, DK. You lost me. We'll move on to the next one and work on that later. DK is saying things in the background that are way above my pay grade. So, second tiebreaker is total yards to the Ravens, closest to the pin.
He's saying he didn't make it up. He's saying he proves it from Caesar's Sportsbook.
Yeah, yeah. So, anyway, yeah, the over-under is from, Caesar's Sportsbook. So, DK's got some juice behind these predictions.
Mm-hmm,
so,
it's not all wins.
That's right. All right, let's go to the last one here. If after all that, they're still tied, the second tiebreaker is the closest to the pin and is the total yards for the Ravens. I'm going to let you guys know that I have the highest amount at 325 for the Baltimore Ravens. And I already know that if it comes to this, I'm going to win because there's no way the Ravens are going way under the Steelers average offensively. So Glenn, what do you got?
I got 305. I think some of this, you got to account for the short fields that they may be in for. And that's where I think they move the ball fine, but I don't think they get a full amount of long fields because I think they'll be set up by the defense. So I'm going to say 305, and it looks like DK's finally coming back to earth on his yardage predictions. He says 275. He's the low man this week, interestingly enough.
Shocker.
Hey, I wanted to, I think it was Robert or Rob TV and Don C bringing out the fact, isn't it crazy that how long is it? I think it's been since Ryan Shazier that the Steelers have had a decent middle linebacker. Isn't that crazy to think about? Crazy. Like, that's a long time ago now.
Crazy, crazy, crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, it's wild. Like, the Steelers, you got to have a linebacker. Steelers.
Yeah. Reggie Bush is a bust, dude. Reggie Bush.
Devin
Bush, yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Reggie would not like me confusing the two of them. Sorry, Reggie. But yeah, folks, make sure you put your submissions in. Make sure you check out BetUS. I'm mm-hmm. so excited for this weekend. Have yourself a weekend. Enjoy the games ahead of us. Mm-hmm. Soak it all in.
And don't forget to come back here right after the game.
Right after. We will be here to commiserate, but most likely to celebrate.
Yeah.
Or we will be here. That's all for us tonight, folks. And we'll talk to you soon.